With the recent allegations surrounding P. Diddy, we decided to take a different approach with this week's episode. We want to delve into the world of the conspiracy theory. Now, for the last few years, it seems like conspiracy theorists haven't missed on many things that at first they get called crazy for, and then they turned out to be true. And the conspiracy theorists turned out to be vindicated. So today's episode, we're going to delve into some different conspiracy theories. This is going to be a more fun, lighthearted episode while covering some deep, dark, troubling topics. So let's get into it. Yo, this is Hanging with Apes, an Audio Apes podcast. Real talk, real topics, no limits. Audio Apes, music with no boundaries. What's up, everybody? This is K Cartoon.
This is RX Phonics.
We are the Audio Apes, and you are officially Hanging with Apes, a weekly Tuesday podcast where we discuss trending topics, current news, and relevant subjects with a philosophical and comedic flair and our take on it. Two guys from the south side of Chicago. There is explicit language at times, so be advised. Going over to our website, that's hangingwithapes.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. And if you want to listen to some really good rap and hip hop, go to any major music streaming platform. Type in Audio Apes and our catalog pops up.
It truly is the best.
It truly is the best. Like always, if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, go there and you can give us a 5-star review. It helps us out a lot. If you want to help us stay independent, go to our website. You can download an amount of your choosing or buy some merch. And if you know somebody that would be interested in the things that we talk about here on the show, please share it with them. We're on all podcast platforms. So, little bit different episode today. There's not a lot going on in the news. At least not a lot that we haven't covered. Obviously, it's an election year, so we're going to be covering the election a lot. But whenever there's an opportunity to talk about something else, it's nice to explore those opportunities. At face value, I don't have a lot to say about the P. Diddy thing. I think you summed it up pretty well in pre-production when you were like, something about him always rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty much in the same boat with you. So P. Diddy himself and he, I don't particularly care about. But what he represents, and if even half of the things that are being leveled against him are true, then the conspiracy theorists are right yet again, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I guess we could start off with the biggest elephant in the room when you get into these realms. And I would say, what is it with these people and kids? Like, because now we're hearing out of, so we know with Epstein that was a thing, but now with Diddy, we're starting to hear rumblings that that was a thing with Diddy, human trafficking, things involving children, the things that again, the conspiracy theorists, the Alex Jones type, have long accused Hollywood of participating in. Seems like Diddy might have some way, shape, or form been involved in that stuff based off of what people are saying. We don't know. Again, these are allegations at this point. But I think there is a degree of certainty more so with the Epstein situation. So what is it? Why? What is that about?
I don't know. It's weird. And you know what's weird about it is like the people... the people that like talk about this stuff before it happens, like, cause like for a little bit, what's his name? The comedian with the perm, what's his name? Cat Williams came out and said, yeah, Diddy would invite me to parties. I didn't want nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
And it's just weird that the timing of it. And then Ryan Garcia, the boxer, like mentioning all this weird stuff, I'm like, is this guy losing his mind? What's up with him? And then remember when Kanye was saying, oh, they sent P. Diddy to talk to me. I don't talk to feds. Like, so.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, he was like Meek Mill, and he kept mentioning Meek Mill and Diddy.
Yeah.
Like, like they were linked to some extent. So I wonder how much of like what we think is weird or like, well, are these guys off the rocker? Are they, or are they saying something and then we're like looking at them like crazies?
Yeah.
Because then when this happens, there's a raid, phones are confiscated, surveillance footage is confiscated, guns seized, all these victims coming out of the woodwork, all these stories and allegations of like Diddy like courting people so he could sign them, but like them finding like dude getting domed up by men, like, yeah. it's crazy. Like, you're thinking like, what the fuck is going on, yeah, in Hollywood? What is going on? And like little by little, you start seeing like this starting to look like the Epstein thing all over again.
Yeah,
it's looking like the Epstein thing very all over again.
Stuff.
And so then you start thinking like, and then you know it's Homeland Security doing these raids, FBI, Homeland. So it's not like local police.
Yeah.
So it's very. It's weird, and then what's weird to me even more is like, all right, let's just say you're just a person that just feasts in debauchery.
Yeah.
One thing is like feasting in debauchery as an adult, but the kids thing,
yeah,
like that's where it's like weird. I remember the guy from Sounds of Freedom, the actor, I forget his name. He's the one who played
Jim Caviezel.
Him talking, I don't know if you've seen like videos of him talking about like the conspiracy theory that they use like the children's blood.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I thought that kind of sounded a bit insane, but like,
yeah.
Is it insane or is this happening? Like,
yeah.
Because then it.
So did you happen to watch? It's a very good interview. The interview with this guy, I'm not familiar with a lot of his work, George Jenko and Andrew Tate. I only came across it because like it seems to have gone viral. This particular
George Jenko doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. So he recently, I want to say it was about 3 months ago, he recently had an interview with Andrew Tate. It's a 2-part interview. Both parts are very interesting. And there's a particular instance in the interview where George Jenko and Andrew Tate, they're discussing the differences between a little bit of the differences between Islam and Christianity. And then they're discussing the notion of a man having multiple wives and the Christian doctrine of one man, one woman, right?
Yeah.
And so Andrew Tate made a very interesting point. He said, you know what's funny to me is in nations and in parts of the world where men are allowed to have more than one wife, the politicians and the people high up on the social hierarchy, they don't fall into the stuff that American men that are told to only have one woman fall into. And prior to that, I've never really thought about that. If you think about it, here in this country, it's basically the Christian doctrine, one man, one woman.
Yeah.
And then what really happens with the whole one man, one woman thing? All this debauchery basically gets outsourced. So like it's like, oh, the dude watches porn. Or like he gets with escorts, or he goes to fucking Epstein Island if he's like, you know, high up on the political or powerful echelon. All of these things happen, whereas the guy in a nation or of the religion of the belief where he could have multiple wives is basically like, well, I'm here with like my three wives or my four wives, and like they never even get into like this realm. So it's interesting because here in this country, the Christian doctrine is one man, one woman. But how often does that even really happen? So now, yeah, hasn't that become a little bit of a pipe dream? And so now we get into the realm of, Well, is it something in our culture that breeds the interest in these very perverse and obscene subcultures?
I mean, I could see it, because, like, first, I think that people don't live by the doctrines, and so it's like this.
Well, it seems like Christians and in this nation, people don't live by the doctrine, but
yes,
but for instance, I mean, I can't speak from experience, I don't know, but I can't fathom a guy, you know, an Islamic man that has three wives. I'd venture to say he probably doesn't consume porn.
With what time? You have three wives. Yeah, because I do feel that, like, with that part of your life kind of consumed, not consumed, but like filled up, like the schedule's filled up, why would you? You kind of have higher priorities. I could speak myself from experience in the time when, like, I had multiple partners. Why would I watch? Like, in my mind, I was like, why would I watch porn? I could just go meet up with a chick. Why would I do that? And then the time that you have by yourself, you're like, well, I got to go do something productive. And so porn doesn't become a factor. But then if you start seeing, like, the behaviors and the patterns that people fall into, they fall into these routines where a marriage could easily become sexless. Then what happens then?
Yeah.
And then you're trying to follow the doctrine of, like, oh, this is the life I'm supposed to live. Is that what's perversing men? Is that what's perversing people? That is a legit question, because you look at this country and you start seeing, like, and I mean, I'd venture to say that if you're having these, like, crazy high-end Hollywood events, there's going to be people of all walks of life, but it's happening here in America. It's not happening outside of America. Right. We're not seeing. Epstein wasn't, from what I know, he was American.
Right.
Diddy is American. And a lot of these conspiracy theories, it's all like this Hollywood world. Yeah. Hollywood. And then Hollywood has connections with the CIA. So it's like, why is it happening here and not outside of here? And what is it about, like, the stuff that they're being put on? Because, like, just like in pre-production, we're watching this video.
Yeah.
Where someone was detailing being invited to a party like that, like the Eyes Wide Shut type of ordeal. And in the last room, that, so it was like a room-based party. So every room had, like, a certain theme to it. One room would be, like, super sensual, sexual. Then another room was, like, gambling. Then another room was, like, eating all types of lavish food, like animals. Until you got to the last room, and then you had to, like, basically say that you were God and that you only believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have to put your hand over, like, whatever your religion was, which is, like, a Bible or the Torah or the Quran, whatever it was. And then in the next room, it was like people were doing, and they didn't detail that, but I guess they were saying that there was cameras everywhere. They're being recorded, and they're being recorded doing, like, wild stuff. Whatever that stuff is, I don't know.
You can only imagine.
Yeah. And then they're saying that after leaving these parties, all of a sudden people were brokering good deals, and their numbers would go up on social media, and they just blew up overnight. And so you're thinking about that, and you're like, is this real or is this guy just talking shit? But this
is not the first instance where you hear things like this.
Yeah. Like, they made a movie about it, you know, like, and you've heard stories about it. I've heard stories from people that have experienced the same thing. And they're like, yeah, that was weird.
Now, I like where we're at with this conversation. I want to ask you something. You could only sell somebody on such a thing by offering material goods, right? Yeah. Like all that's all you can like because you what other thing can you really offer? I mean or the maybe not like material goods specifically, but like you can you're offering them the opportunity to obtain more material goods. And so now it does get interesting because now you enter the realm of the spiritual. And like a person that has, as we've referenced prior in the Kendrick Lamar song, Rich Spirit, a person that has a rich spirit, they wouldn't like trade off their spirit or their dignity for material goods.
Not
it's
at
like,
all.
Not to say that they may not want material goods. I think to an extent we all want things, but... There are those of us that is like, well, there's a line that I have, and like yeah. I don't care. I'll never cross this line for something material.
No, not at all. And I'll never say I'm my own God and that like I only bow down to myself. I would never say that. I would never. That would never come. You can never. You could put a gun to my head. I'm not going to say that. I bow to God. God is the Almighty, and that's it. Like I just wouldn't say that. That would just doesn't even resonate with my spirit, like to say some shit like that, because like yeah. I'm humble enough to know, like I'm blessed, but that's partly I've done the things that I'm supposed to do, but I think partly you're blessed because God like smiles and shit like that. All right, cool, but like I would never, because that's it's as like they say, words are cheap, yeah. right? So you could say anything, but like that's not. That's not what it is. And so that would rub me the wrong way for someone to make me do that. Like yeah. that wouldn't. But even like the whole, all these themes, like the party, wearing a mask, obscurity, like it wouldn't even, I wouldn't feel comfortable because I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Something like, something about this doesn't make me feel good. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Like with the room where people were like real flirty or something or real sexual. It's like, there's something weird about that.
100%.
Like you go to an event and you put your bid in with a chick or you flirt with a girl that you like, that's different. But when it's like an event and yeah. everyone's kind of in on it, I don't know. There's something weird about that. Like, yeah. like a cult about it that I just like, I don't know. This is some devil shit.
Yeah.
Some, what is it? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He's
like, we're here to do, he said, what did he say when they're taking him? He's like, we're here to do some devil shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm the devil and I'm here to do the devil's work. He's like. He's just pointing at him high as hell, but like yeah, it wouldn't make me feel good because it just and then like if someone's recording you do something, it's like this is evil. This is yeah, like I don't know it? I gotta do something awful and then you gotta record me then you hold it over
me. Do you think that our society, specifically the American culture, is over sexualized? Because I feel like that's the other thing too. I feel like if you have a culture, if you have a society that's over-sexualized and then it continues to be sexualized, what other way is there to go but into even more debauchery and perverse, obscene things?
Yeah. Well, not only over-sexualized, but over, like everything is like there's no... There's no morality anymore. Like, for example, why would you become a cop? Like, we're from Chicago. Why would I become a cop knowing that my hands are tied behind my back and I'm not really not protecting or serving? So now I'm taking a job where I'm being told, don't stop the criminals.
Right.
That doesn't sit well with me if I'm going to take that job. That's me. And I'm not here to say that, you know, every cop is going to be like, oh, yeah, fuck it. That's what they told us. But to me, that would not resonate well with my soul to like be in a situation where like I know I could do better.
Yeah.
And for I society. Should
be doing
yeah.
better. Yeah.
And so no, I don't think so little by little, like we're being told to
like,
well, be okay with the debauchery.
And it's funny you say that because remember I wanna say it was last week when we talked about that incident. I wanna say it was in New York with the squatters. And it was the lady that owned the property that ended up getting arrested.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were talking in that segment, I was saying, if I was the cop, I would not arrest that no. lady. Like, it would be like, I'll come up with something like, ma'am, I'm about to trip and fall. Like, run, get out of here, whatever. But I, and the premise of that is what you just said. The premise is it would not sit well with my soul.
Yeah.
It's like, I cannot arrest this yeah. lady. I will not.
Yeah. And so little by little, the society is being forced.
But do you even think we live in a time and in a place where people even factor in the soul anymore? I feel like it's more and more fleeting.
I think that the power of like right and wrong and transcending like the shit that's in front of you is there. I think it's there, but I think that
I'm talking about the everyday person, like what you see, what you observe on a day-to-day basis. Do you find that people factor in the soul, like how you just said, oh, this wouldn't sit well with my soul?
I think people tell themselves they factor it in, but I don't think that their actions speak to that. Because we're like,
I feel like they don't. I feel like not a lot.
Yeah, well, it's like denial of it. So like, oh yeah, I'm a good person. It's like saying I'm a good person, but like you're not like it. So if you're not aware of like what's going on in your society from a political level, from a social, cultural level,
economic level,
and you just, you're okay with it, you're complicit with where society's heading.
Yeah.
You 100%. Can tell yourself that you're not, and you're like, oh, I don't pay attention to those things because, like, my little world. But that right there tells you, like,
you're basically part of the problem.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's like, you're not really factoring in your soul. You think, in your mind, I think that people are delusional about them being good, because they'll look at it, oh, I'm a good dad, I'm a good mom, and then even then it's like, well, but what makes you a good dad or a good mom? Because the future is fucked.
And also your standard for being a good dad or good mom, well, that's kind of like you're doing what like you're legally like required to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's like, because you hear that a lot, oh, like, I have a roof over your head, I put clothes on your back. Yeah, like you're obligated to do that. Yeah. I didn't. So now it's like you're a good dad. It's like, oh, like the teachings. Like, it's like I feel like for me, like my dad has taught me things. You know how they say, oh, it's like you could like either give a man a fish or teach a man to fish.
Yeah,
I feel like my dad has taught me things where he's like taught me how to fish. It's yes. like,
yeah,
it's like that's a good dad. It's yeah. like not just, oh, well, here's shoes, son, or here's a video game. Like, it's just like, no, like, what am I teaching? Or like how my dad has taught me things about like politics and like the world and the way the world works and this, yeah. this and that. Or and both of my parents, like, they've always basically like, they've never discouraged me from like my mind being open, like, oh no, like explore and like be interested in things, yeah. and read and educate yourself, be informed, whatever have you. Like, to me, like, that's a good parent. Honestly, like, when you get older, you realize that, like, if your parents bought you, like, every pair of Jordans that ever came out, that really doesn't mean anything.
No. No, that's all just material stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like, what about the philosophy on things, on why things are the way they are? What's good? What's bad? Why is it good? Why is it bad? Like, these things matter, and people are willing to skip that for what?
Yeah.
For what exactly? Because when you fast forward, I go back to what, who was it, Pearl said, like, the people that say, you know, I'm a conservative, what have you been successful at conserving? What have we conserved?
Zilch.
Yeah. So what are we doing here? Like, what is, where are we heading to? And so you look at the patterns, and it's like, I'll sit here and I'll have a conversation about, for example, Trump, and someone's just saying, oh, that guy is so cocky, oh, what a piece of shit. Like, but that has nothing to do with the politics.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about you liking this person? Are we talking about the politics behind it? Why he rose to prominence?
Right. And that's everything you said. That's at a like very rudimentary level. But then if you want to get even more advanced and like you start getting into the realm of, how do they say, the 4D chess, now it's like, well, maybe what's required at this point in time and in this point in culture and in this point in society is a cocky guy, because maybe the other side has been so fake humble for so long, and like really they are the most cocky, abrasive, radical, and it's time. But it's just that this particular side, they're not covert about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you think about the Democrats and the lefties in this country, they're way more ego. They are egomaniacs. Trump, like, yeah, he has an ego and he's very cocky, but like he's not a psychopath. He's very overt about it. Like, oh, this is who I am, this is what I am. These other motherfuckers, they're psychopaths. Like they conceal that shit, but it spills out when you see the things that they believe in and the things that they want to do and how everything is basically about control.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Epstein list. Who's in it? Who's in it? Who are these people supposed to be?
Yeah.
You know, but why are they on that list? What were they doing? We don't have the answers, because the money and the power stops it all. But why is Bill Gates on the list? Why is Bill Clinton on the list? Why is there famous people on the list like that? And why is it okay for people to say, "Oh yeah, he's on the list. Yeah, but it's fine. He's fine."
Yeah. How do we still not know what took place at this island?
Exactly.
Like, all of this stuff. Absolutely.
Princes, like there's people high up, like that are on these lists. Then with the Diddy thing, it's like the same thing. You have videos on people. The shit that you were doing was questionable. Then you start thinking like, well, you had Usher in your house when he was just a boy. He's just a boy.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah. And I was like, what was happening there? You don't, there hasn't been any allegations, but I guess what I'm saying is now it makes you think like,
yeah,
this is weird shit. And it's like, to be part of the party.
And it doesn't help that the conspiracy theorists are continuously proven right.
Yeah.
That's not helping either. It's just like for instance, basically everything, what we do know is, we'll go over a few things that conspiracy theorists have been right about. So aliens, in recent years, it does seem like, especially like since certain classified documents have been unsealed and whatnot, it does seem like there are things that have been concealed from the American public in regards to UFOs and aliens.
Yes.
So now we have that. Granted, it's weird that like more people don't talk about it, but it's out there. Like there's videos you could see of people giving testimonies and at Senate hearings and whatnot. So boom, that's one in the column for the conspiracy theorists. At very least, it's one in the column in regards to there are things that have been kept from us.
Yeah.
So that's one in their column. One where like it's just not one in their column, but it's a bunch of them, is everything that happened with the virus, from the origins of the virus to how deadly the virus was, which wasn't anywhere near as deadly as they said, to the jab, to the mask, to like basically everything that was going on during the virus, like basically You could add like 50 points to the conspiracy theorists on that one, because they were basically right about everything when it came to that. So now, that there's a cabal of elites in Hollywood that want to do things with kids and islands. Oh, well, Epstein's Island. So that's another one. That's true. So
that's one of many islands that they found.
Right. So
Sound of Freedom, that was another island. Never gets spoken about. But that's a true story. And so this is not a one-off.
You're right.
Now, if Diddy is really guilty of this stuff, we don't know.
Did he do it?
Yeah, did he do it? And if he did, then Diddy did do it. And it's like,
so don't be around here saying that Diddy didn't do it.
But yeah, it's like, it's crazy. Like, if it's true, that means that all, like, Hollywood is just a nasty, nasty place. And I remember we went to Hollywood. We were in that area, and I always said, like, it rubbed me the wrong way, the way people were. Because it's like, everyone wants
lost to... Lost souls.
Yeah, lost souls, and, like, they're willing to... You just feel it. It's something in the air. You feel it like, let's be friends. Let's take pictures. It was about taking pictures and being on IG because, RX Phonics might blow up, and I want to be known. Like, my soul rejected the aura because it's like, bro, relax. Breathe. Can we have a conversation? Can we talk? Can we?
I'm off the drugs. Yeah. I can't. I'm incapable. The drugs won't allow it.
Yeah. It was weird. It was a weird vibe. There was badass moments, like learning about the business. Like, the business aspect of it was cool, but the networking and like the aura of the starving artist and like, we're going to go to this party here. We're going to go to this party there. And it's like, it just felt weird. Yeah. It felt like nobody was really themselves. They all had a number on their head.
It's like a projection of a self.
Yeah. And I couldn't contend with that. Like, I was like, I don't know this is my crowd.
Yeah.
And so if this is what Hollywood is, then I can't do it. Because I can't, like, more and more I start understanding the, like, how the Coen brothers came off when they won their Oscar.
Yeah.
All right, cool. 10-4. Cool. Yeah, we won. Peace.
Yeah.
Because that's probably who we would be. Yeah. Honestly, like, okay, you gave me the award. We were raw without it. Yeah. And, like, we were going to do what we were going to do without it.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. We won, but you guys don't impress me. You've never impressed me. I never wanted to be part of the crowd.
I'd be like, we get the award and we go up there and, like, we know, like, we're not supposed to thank God up here. Thank God. Yeah. And then walk off.
Yeah, thank God.
God is good.
And fuck Hollywood. Yeah. And it's like, you feel it and you see it. And then when you hear these stories, you could totally see people, like, totally, like, going with the flow.
Yeah.
Because they want to be somebody. You want to be somebody so bad, but it's like, you could be somebody. I don't have to be fame. Like, I don't want the fame.
Yeah.
None of us. Like, if you really like doing what you do, you don't really give a fuck about the fame. You give a fuck about the message.
Yeah, the craft, the art, craft. Whatever it is you're doing. Yeah, the endeavor.
Yeah. And remember, there was also stories of, like, in the 90s, getting all the rappers together. And they also had to sign an NDA. I think it was, like, the Bone Thugs. It was a bunch of them. And basically, like, the execs were like, listen, we want you guys to make the most wildest music for the black audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys just have to get more gangster with it. And it was, like, a push for, like, selling that gangster shit.
Yeah.
And you couldn't speak about it. You couldn't talk about it because you signed an NDA.
Yeah.
And so, is that story true?
Well, it's like you and I, when we talked about recently, we had a conversation. Actually, you, me, and Donnell over a texter, we had a conversation based off of the question he asked us in regards to our music and what we thought the reasoning was why our music never took off the way, like, some other people's music took off. And I've maintained since that day that we displayed a bravado that I think... I don't think, like, the powers that be, like, had anything to do with, like, and, like, trying to suppress us or anything. I don't believe that. Because, like, we were not, like, at that level where, like, they would have been involved with something like that. But what I will say is the powers that be did play a role in what the public had an appetite for.
Yes.
And I think what the public had an appetite for was not bravado. I think what the public had an appetite for was basically more of a more docile, weaker, let me...
Take pills.
Let me not make my environment a product of me, but let me be a product of my environment. Basically, everything that we weren't,
yeah.
The what was palatable at the time in music was basically everything that we weren't. Now, yeah. Granted that, like, there were still of like artists that we fucked with that still had that bravado of the era that of the music that we rocked with. But if you think about it in retrospect, it's undeniable that it was already dying. It was like time for like the Drakes and everything to kind of... And it was interesting because I was recently having a conversation with somebody about this whole like Drake and Kendrick thing. And there's something about this that really feels like right to me. And because... I don't know about you. I know we mentioned it briefly on the previous episode, but there's something about it that feels like what Kendrick is doing. It's like he's like trying to create like a correction, of many wrongs of many years.
Yeah.
And I rock with it. But then also it's at a time where you see like other artists not doing what Kendrick's doing, but like other artists are sort of being a little bit bolder, like even on that Doomsday 2 with Eminem, I don't know if you caught that, where he's talking about like Benzino like being in a hotel with another dude, and he's like a one bed, two men, and then he's like, man, Shady, you can't say that, man. Yes, you can. Like,
yeah, basically, I did like catch that.
Like, basically, like, yeah, I'm not like going like full force like the way that I used to. But I'm also not going to restrict myself. Yeah. So it's like little things that I pick up on that I start to wonder, oh, okay, like, is there a shift in the culture? Maybe like bravado is making a comeback. I don't know. And it's interesting because a guy, it's like it makes you wonder, like, is the time for like a guy like Drake, is his time kind of coming to an end? Because if that returns... If that sort of bravado returns to rap, then Drake's time basically comes to an end because he's never had that.
Yeah.
And so the reason I get into that is because I'm piggybacking off what you said about like the Bone Thugs and like the NDAs and, you know, execs wanting them to pump out a certain brand of music to a certain community. And what... If you look at, like, for instance, our project, The Concrete Jungle, there's so much on that project because I listen to it, you know, I re-listen to it frequently. There's so much on there that really speaks to the notion of transcending your environment.
Yeah.
And I could see the powers that be not wanting that to be something, that not wanting to be a message that people receive. Because... you transcend your environment, it's like, oh, well, you become more of a critical thinker. You're more of a critical thinker. You're less dependent on certain things. It's you know, and so if we're in the realm of conspiracy theory, that's another one. It's like, why is a certain brand of music, why is a certain message pumped to certain communities?
Yeah. And the thing is like, when you see like, okay, this is the vibe. If you're really like about that, you'll just be like, all right, cool. Well, I'm not going to be part of the club because I don't want to be. So I'm going to adapt.
Yeah.
And so guys like us will never be like a one-show pony. So you're not really hurting us. Like, I was real then. I'm real now. I'm just going to move to another avenue. Move to another avenue. You know, move to another avenue. And so that's the thing. It's like we were never the starving artist. We never wanted to fit in.
Yeah. And it's interesting you point that out, because even when we were in LA, we weren't the starving artist. Like, we had basically, like, everybody that we were there with, we had more money coming in than them, and we were also further along in our craft than they were. Like, we had like whole projects. We had like stuff copyright protected with the Library of Congress. We had things on streaming platforms. We were already like at another level. So to your point, it's like, yeah, it's you're that's the power of independence. Yeah. Though. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was set up in a way where, yeah, if it did blow up, cool. It's blown up now. We own everything.
But it's on our own accord.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, well, the notion of the soul is being sold.
Yeah. And so I liked the 50 Cent had an issue with people. I was like, well, we were just in-house.
Yeah.
I liked that. Because, like, I also didn't like this buddy-buddy thing where everybody was in everybody's song. I don't like you. I don't fuck with you. So I don't know. I'm not going to do a song with you. I don't wish anything ill, but, like I'm not going to do a song with, like, certain people. Cause,
yeah, you're not my team.
Yeah, you're not my team. We're not in the same ballpark. So it is what it is. Like, and so... It's funny because I was recapping. There's a video that they were kind of going through the history of, like, the Drake and Kendrick, if you could call it beef, kind of tension, like tension. And it's like always Drake was always like, oh, yes, that's Kendrick, that's my boy. And then Kendrick would always kind of be, and when he was starting off, he was, all right, cool, let me hang out with him, unless he was to him. Whatever the hell it was, I guess he's like, I don't like him.
But that's what I like about that particular tension, is that it does seem to be like at a like innate level. It's like what I said.
Yeah. Because that's what it seems like. Drake doesn't really throw shots, but Kendrick kind of started being like, I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah, it's not that even you're against me. It's just that what you represent, I'm against that.
And they're saying that the beef, like the shots were being thrown, like, because remember in King Kunta, he's like, you're rapping with a Ghost Rider. What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
And then you two sharing bars like a two-man cell. Yeah. Two-man cell. Like, they're saying that line was like Kendrick saying, I know you have a Ghost Rider. You're not of my ilk. And so I don't even include you. And so, and then Cole, the J. Cole thing, J. Cole kind of like, would always say, oh, Drake and me, we're the top two. And so Kendrick's like, yeah, you guys aren't the top two, though. And so that's where the whole this thing happened, where he was, like, throwing shots at them. And I've always said J. Cole was overrated. I like some of his music, and he's better than, like, Drake, for sure. But something about, like, dick riding each other is weird to me. Yeah. Like, and Kendrick was always kind of like, I'm just on my own shit. I'm here. I do my own songs. My own aura. And it's always my own little story that I want to tell.
Yeah.
He seemed to me, even at times when I was like, not the greatest album, it was always like he had a theme to his stuff. It was never like, we're going to go and party it up. Anytime he was in the limelight, it was because he was going at people.
Yeah. And it was always like based off of like some real shit.
Yeah.
It's like the other day, I can't even remember what song it was. It was on the radio. I don't listen to the radio. I don't know how I heard it in passing, but it was this line from Drake that I heard, and I don't know why, but when I heard the line, I was like, yeah, I could see why this guy wants to destroy you. It was like, it was something to the extent of, like, who is it that you fuck when I'm not in the city? Like, he's talking to some girl. It's like,
yeah.
Why is that in a rap song?
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Like, who gives a fuck? Like, what is this? This is not rap. This is, so that's my point. And that's sort of like the example I gave I want to say it was last week's episode, or maybe the week before, where we talked about this. I get the sentiment of like Calvin Candy with Steven and Django. It's like, Steven, this is Django. Django, this is Steven. The two of you ought to hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the soul's going to reject that.
Yeah.
And so that's just what it is. And so to me,
it's like, would that ever be something like that be in a song that you write? Girl, tell
absolutely
me.
Absolutely not.
Like, who is it that you fuck when I'm not in the city? Like, I don't give a fuck.
Bitch, I never cared.
I'm King Kunta. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like, I can't fuck with you no more. I'm fasting.
Yeah.
That's what the fuck I'm
on. Yeah.
Like, see, that's a Kendrick line.
Exactly.
Bitch, I can't fuck with you no more. I'm fasting. Like, it's like, if you actually break that down, that's like some spiritual shit.
Yeah.
I can't subscribe to anything that you're about.
Yeah.
I'm fasting. Yeah. I'm trying to be a better person.
Yeah.
Higher level person. So what are we talking about here? Drake would never have a line like that.
Of course not.
Yeah, like, and like he Kendrick just has lines where it's just like, damn, like he really is like making a song with a lot of depth, but like it's so easy to like, if when you hear the track at first, it's like, okay, this is one level, but then you start hearing, yeah, and you start seeing the stuff that he's saying,
yeah,
like, and then you're like, damn, like this is,
there's layers to it.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that I really like, and we talked about this before, but I don't mind reiterating, that's one of the things that I really like about that song Rich Spirit, because there is a lot of layers to it, and it is like a weird place to be, a place of like,
he's Christ with a shooter,
like success.
Yeah.
But it's just like, man, I can't let this Hollywood stuff get to me, and so yeah, now like my problems aren't what they used to be. Now my problem is basically, I have to work every day so this stuff doesn't touch me, like this Hollywood stuff, yeah, that I can maintain a rich spirit, and then, you know, the whole taking my baby to school and I pray for it because you bitches ain't never been cool. It's like, yeah, just even that, like the notion of, I know what this child is going to go through, because if this child is anything like me, you're going to go through the same things that I went through.
Yes.
They're like the certain levels of rejection and everything like that. And like, what could I do? I can't be in school with you. All I could do is pray.
Yeah.
You know, it's very interesting.
Yeah, that song literally broke a lot of things down. Remember in the line, like later on in the song, he's like, I think he's talking about the trips to Cabo won't last forever.
Yeah.
Like, that is like what we talk about when it comes to the red pill shit. It's like, right now you're living it up, girl, but like at some point, all these things don't last forever.
Yeah.
What's going to be right? Like, what's going to be there when you need to contend with that?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to be there? What's going to happen? Are you going to be okay with what you see in the mirror?
Yeah.
And, like that's just next level shit.
Pop that Prozac, baby. Pop,
yeah,
that Prozac.
Yeah, exactly. And so that, to me, is where you even take Drake out of the equation, because Drake is, like, the party, like, the club. But then you put a J. Cole, and it's, like, even J. Cole won't have those type of themes. Like, he'll have like certain themes that are okay, but it's like, it's very surface level.
Yeah.
And then my problem with J. Cole has always been like, when he says something, sometimes he reneges the next bar. Yeah. And it's like, bro, say it like,
show some fucking commitment.
Slam your dick on the table. Like, if you're gonna say it, like, here's my joint. This is what the fuck I had to say. Like, but it's like, you don't say, yeah, it with conviction. So I was like, I don't even. So sometimes, like, he takes me out of the zone when he says certain things, even, yeah, if I don't agree with it, because he doesn't stand for it.
Yeah.
It's like he pussyfoots around,
yeah,
it. And so that's always been my problem. Whereas with Kendrick, like, agree with him or not, he'll say some shit and he just stands by it.
Yeah.
You say, oh, well, this is what I got to say. That's it. So I respect that more.
Yeah.
I respect that more. Like, Black of the Berry, that's a very, like, straight-in-your-face song. You know, then like, the artistically, like, in I, when he's like, I went to war last night. Yeah. Like, he's not, he doesn't, if you know what he's talking about, okay, cool. But he's not going to also, like, give you the answer to what he's talking about.
Yeah.
If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. But, like, that's what I like about the artistry, because you'll be thinking about things. It makes you think a lot. You'll be like, damn, you know. And in that regard, I will give him that. And so with what you're saying, with him dissing both of them, it's like, it is kind of a nice crossroads to be in.
Very much.
Because it's like, well, what happens? You know, like, is this a shift? Because we have to also look at, like, the shifts that have happened culturally have been coming much more than few and far in between now. It's like, it's a constant.
Yeah, like, we're getting it with movies. We're getting,
it's, we just talked Sound of Freedom. Like, Sound of Freedom broke records, financial records. This movie, they tried to stop it, and it was about child trafficking. And it was one of the biggest films of the year that it came out. Was it 2022 or 2023? 2023, right? But it was like, it broke records. Disney, with whatever the fuck they're pushing, is like flopping on everything.
Yeah.
Then the Bud Light situation. Then the like the fact that the Epstein thing, it's like, it catches fire. And people are like, what's to that Epstein shit? Epstein didn't kill himself. And so more and more, you can't really hide the truth.
Yeah.
You have to contend with that. And then people are pushing back.
Yeah. And then when you, and we could wrap it up after this, like, you get these situations like the Diddy situation, the Epstein Island situation, and then people see that people on a certain side of culture, on a certain side of the political aisle, on a certain side of just where we're at right now in the zeitgeist, were right. And then so now those people on that side, they're more validated. So people are like, they're more likely to, like, gravitate towards those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It is.
That's where we're at. Very different episode, but it was a fun little journey that we went on. Thank you guys so much for listening. The show continues to grow because you guys keep listening, so keep on listening. Remember, if we talk about something that you know somebody would be interested in, please share the episode with them. We're on all podcast platforms. If you want to help us stay independent, go to our website. You can donate an amount of your choosing or buy some merch. And if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star review. It does help us out a lot. We'll see you guys next week. We're out. Peace.
Peace.